In focus today, the tsunami overwhelmed the island nation of Sri Lanka with more than 30,000 deaths recorded so far, more than a third of them children. Thousands more are homeless and isolated, anxiously awaiting some relief. But the catastrophe has abruptly halted the long war between the majority Sinhalese, largely Buddhist, and the minority Tamils, who are Hindus. Can this tragedy finally lead to peace in Sri Lanka? That is the hope to emerge from disaster, as VOA's Ed Warner tells us in this report prepared by Freshka Azizi.
The Tamil Tigers, as the rebels in Sri Lanka are known, were awaiting a possible clash with government forces. Instead, they were confronted with something far worse. Massive waves that struck their community with particular force. Visiting UNICEF Director Carol Bellamy said no sight was more poignant than women by the sea awaiting the return of the bodies of their children. Amid this calamity, there was no talk of war. Sri Lankan President Chandrika Kumaratunga took control of disaster relief and pledged to cooperate with the Tigers. The elusive Tiger leader Velupillai Prabhakaran made a plea for help after 135 children at an orphanage were drowned. The devastation caused by this tidal surge has exacerbated the sufferings of our people, already affected by a war that has continued for over 20 years and has torn asunder our nation. It is vital for the government to work with the Tamils, says T.M.K. Samat, a journalist in Colombo, capital of Sri Lanka.
A disaster of this magnitude is something new to Sri Lanka. How the government copes with it is all a new experience. It's a learning process for them. Now, the waters are just about receding, and they're going through the whole process of clearing the debris. And in that process, they're discovering more bodies. How it will all end up, of course, the only time will tell.
Mr. Samat says the disaster has taken the fight out of both rebels and government, at least for now. They share a common grief and exhaustion.
They seem to be far more willing to start negotiating on the peace process than before. The government is very keen to get the peace process going because so much of aid is attached to that. There is a $4 billion aid pledge given by the international community, depending on the peace process starting.
Mr. Samat cautions that officially talks have not begun. Sri Lankans must first recover from the wreckage of their lives and possessions, a long, onerous undertaking. But they will not be able to think or talk as they did before the tragedy.
It has awakened them to certain realities. That is, that you can't have division within the country and get the country moving forward. Against that background, the disaster is a bit of a blessing. They could bring the two sides together, that is the Tamils as well as the Sinhalese. There is a perceptible optimism there that things might get better.
That is possible, says Diane Davis, professor of political sociology at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. She has studied the political impact of the 1985 earthquake in Mexico City. It discredited the autocratic government that had ruled the country for 71 years, especially when its military stole aid packages intended for victims. To avoid such a breakdown, she says the Sri Lankan government must act fast and reliably.
The government could turn this into a golden opportunity to create new channels of communication, new institutions of solidarity and help. It could be a peacemaking opportunity through the lens of the earthquake and tsunami disaster. And in some ways, it allows both sides to kind of move beyond the stubbornness of the past to think about the larger good.
Such a disaster can move people in one of two directions, toward greater unity or greater fragmentation, says Paul Sappho, director of the Institute for the Future in Palo Alto, California.
The response that the governments and various groups are doing, of course, is going to determine the outcomes. I would imagine that, for example, in the areas of greatest concern, Aceh province and Sri Lanka, it's going to be kind of a race to see who can help the people better, the rebels or the establishment.
Or maybe it is a race both can win. That was the case with Greece and Turkey, says Michael Glantz, who deals with early warning systems at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. In a New York Times article, he cites the 1999 earthquakes in Turkey that took 17,000 lives. The first country to offer aid was its sworn enemy, Greece. This led to improved relations, talks over disputed Cyprus, and no Greek objection to Turkey joining the European Union. As the Greek foreign minister put it, We are all human. For Focus, this is Ed Warner. The script was written by Freshta Azizi.